Now let us seek the Lord once again in prayer. Our gracious God, how we desire to truly sense and feel the words that we sing of, and to know thy nearness with us, and for thy word to come to our hearts with power. And Lord, that does not mean the loudness of the preacher or the expressions that he uses, but to hear that still, small voice of God to speak within our hearts, for that arrow of thy word to penetrate between that place where it can affect, and for thy word to bring about blessing and life. Lord, we pray for such a power, and we ask that thou wouldst then bless every soul here for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us turn to Isaiah 55, friends. It begins with such word of invitation. Ho, everyone! Ho, everyone! Can you imagine this? It's a picture of the marketplace, the businessman, the salesman, crying out, come here, pay some attention to this, I have something important to tell you. Here is a bargain. That is the thing. And who does not like a bargain? Here's a bargain, something that you can have. And it is of the greatest of value. Ho! That's the word for attention. It is look, listen. Here is something worth your attention. Now it is this picture, the picture of God, as it were, at the marketplace that Isaiah the prophet is painting for us in these opening verses and opening words of chapter 55. God, from his word, to this world of men and women, and to this world of boys and girls, speaks to us and is seeking our attention to those who are passing by, those who are hearing his word. You hear all kinds of things in your life. Throughout the week, you're hearing people talking. You're listening to people asking you, listen to me, pay attention to me. Maybe a teacher, maybe a colleague, maybe your boss, maybe your husband, maybe your wife. And they're saying, look at this, this is an important thing. We need to really pay attention to this thing, or it will go badly for us. And then there is something else. Someone says, well, here is something we need to see. We need to use the time well, and there's something wonderful here that we need to take and we need to work on for our own good and for our own blessing. And here is this, what is the Lord saying to us? Ho! God is, by saying this, God is actually coming down to our level. He's condescending to our level, as it may, to cry out to those who are busy with all kinds of things, and listening to all kinds of things, and with all the world's cares, with all the world's business. And God is crying out to you. He says, ho, ho, listen, here is something worth your attention. Now here, my friends, we have the gospel summons. Here we have the trumpet call from heaven to earth, inviting all kinds of people to partake of this spiritual salvation. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Here's a gospel feast. The picture that the Bible oftentimes gives to this blessing of God. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is a feast. And that is what is here. And oftentimes when people are invited, come for some meals, come for some food, especially young people, they wouldn't go to some meetings. But if there is food, they oftentimes would go. I did that as a student. And wherever there was food, students were found. And we don't change that much in natural life. But the spiritual life, it's something different. And the Lord is offering to us something that is lasting, something that is that satisfies the longing soul. And here is that Isaiah. Do you know what the name Isaiah means? It means that salvation of Jehovah. Salvation of Jehovah. And what Isaiah, he's called to be the evangelical prophet. And what he preached oftentimes was this wonderful good news that he preached. Jews and Gentiles alike are caught up in his prophecies, in its great themes, and they are led with directness and with conviction to consider God and consider the Jehovah God. But specifically, he points to a person, the person of Jesus Christ. We only have to read certain passages to know that Isaiah speaks about Jesus Christ so often. Clearest example, Isaiah 53, about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ and his glorification. And so he's pointing us. He says, listen, here is a bargain, something that is being given out. Oh, and so this is the thing that I want us to think about. You might accept an invitation, and most likely do when someone invites you for a meal. Well, I would urge you to listen well. Here is God calling, and here is God inviting. Again and again, he does that. And so focus your mind on this good news that is being announced here. Focus your mind in this news that God is giving, which that news is full and it is free. What? Free salvation and a full salvation. It means when you receive it is complete. And you don't need to go and say, well, I have to make certain parts of it up. No, it is full. And then it is also free because you don't have to go and pay something back. It is not a debt that we have. So this is the good news. And there are a number of things I want to say in the time that we have. That first of all, this good news of the gospel that is from God satisfies the soul. That is one thing we see from this chapter 55. And then that this news is full and free. This salvation is full and free. And then finally, that this good news is for those sensing their need. It is for them. The gospel is a good news for all and to all. But think about it. What a world that we are living in. This is the thing that gladdens my heart when I come to a place like this to worship and to think and meditate upon the Word of God. And because my week has been full of all kinds of sad events and all kinds of sad news and bad news. And you listen to people and you talk to people, all kinds of issues and all kinds of needs. And I'm sure you face the same kind of things. And many sad faces. And then you look at some people and they're very busy. They don't even have time to talk to you and stop because they are in this race. They have to finish this work and this task and so on. And for all of our lives, for all of us here, life is going so fast, so quickly. It's so full of things. And then we might look back in our lives as well. And we think, what has happened? We get to certain points in our lives. One person some years back, I didn't know what he was talking about, he said about he has reached this midlife crisis. And I'd never heard of that before. And And he said, I really look back and think, what have I done with my life? Well, it is a good thing to think like that. It is a good thing to examine ourselves and to think, what has been achieved? But then don't forget the spiritual side of things. There is this voice in your heart. Your conscience is speaking at different times in your life. And maybe not just now, but maybe tomorrow. Maybe later on in the week. Something that has been said to you comes back to your heart and you begin to be uneasy about that. Well, don't let that go. Don't try to forget it and put it to one side. Here you have this morning a message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the voice of God and giving us a good news. And that's what we call the gospel. Here's the gospel sound. It is a message not from earth. It is not a message that ministers preach about. It is a message that has come from heaven. And that is why we can preach it boldly and we can call upon you and say, thus says the Lord. And of course, this is something for all of us. It's not just for Christians. It is not just for non-Christians. It's for every one of us. Every one of us can feed from it. Because all of us need the Lord. All of us need to be growing. All of us need to be quenching our thirst and becoming full from hunger. So there is the theme is this, the soul's needs. And the gospel answers. The first thing that I mentioned earlier on that we need to consider is the good news from God satisfies the soul. That is what this is about. It satisfies the soul. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat, ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And so on. Here it explains God's provision for our need using picture language, using what we would call metaphors that comes from a different culture. We would not necessarily use this kind of a language in our conversation, but this is an Eastern metaphor, Middle Eastern metaphor. And they would refer to wine and to water and milk and bread. And you try to place yourself for a moment in the circumstances of the Middle Eastern life. Wine was commonly used in Palestine. Milk is so precious everywhere. Water is so vital, especially in a hot climate. And bread is the stable diet of everyone. And in the New Testament, when you think about these things, in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ compares salvation to a great feast. And he spoke in one of his parables, and in different parables, in, for example, in Luke 14 and verse 16, he spoke of a man who made a great supper. Great feast. It wasn't just supper. It was a great supper. And this is the thing. This is the gospel. This is the salvation. This is great salvation. It's a great feast. And we've been invited by the Lord to attend this wonderful feast. There would be some Christians who are always looking at the negative thing. Always cast down about certain things. And there is, if we look for it, we become cast down. You look for those things. And I am like that. And I'm speaking from experience. Oftentimes, I see the problems. I see the issues in myself and in the world. But my friends, we have a good news to declare. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke the truth. He also saw the realities. But let those things don't rob you of the fact that this is the great feast. It's a wonderful message of salvation. And you look beyond the issues that you have. You have tears in your heart. Your tears running down your eyes. You have troubles and you despair at times. But go to this message. Go and see the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he saying to us? What has he done for us? what he has done is great for our salvation. Everything that you need is prepared, the Lord is saying. Everything is prepared. And there is plentiful of it on this great table of salvation. What does your soul need? What does my soul need? I need salvation. You need salvation. This wonderful message. God gives forgiveness to the guilty. The Lord gives peace to those who are troubled and weary. He gives joy to those who are cast down. And of course, what we are talking here is, again, spiritual things. Oh, many Christians' lives are full of troubles, but they still have peace. Where is that peace coming from? It is coming from the Lord, and it is essentially peace with God. The Lord gives strength to those who are weak. And many people look down on Christians and say they're weak people. Look at them. They're weak people. But actually, they're strong. They're strong in the Lord. The Lord gives holiness and cleansing for those who have messed up their lives and they're unclean sinners. They would be ashamed to speak about their past. They don't rejoice over it at all. But the Lord brings cleansing. And there is love as well. It replaces that love of God. It replaces the hatred that is there in hearts. This hatred as well that is in our hearts, naturally speaking, against God. And also in God's justice, His wrath upon sinners. But this gospel changes that. Speaks of the love of the Lord to sinners who don't deserve it. So it is a good news. It's a wonderful news from God that satisfies the soul. But there are a number of things that you need to consider when you think about this. Is that the world offers to you, this world that we are living in, people of this world, offers to us things too, answers too, but they offer superficial answers to our soul's needs. You listen to people. You listen to psychiatrists. I talked to a manager of an organization earlier in the week or last week. And she said, I spoke to her about possibly coming and seeing a number of people that I've known. And no, you don't need to come because we have psychiatrists. And they will deal with those people. And they will be a help to those people. And so, no, we don't need, we have to be careful and so on. And the world offers things that is often superficial in their dealing with issues. In verse 2, it speaks about some of those things, superficial things that are just a plaster on the wound. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? That is what the world offers. Spending money for that which is not bread. We could say, why do you spend money for that which is of no value, no real value? It can't sustain you. It will ultimately do you no good, which will never does and never will satisfy you. Why do you spend your time and money? When money is used in the Bible, oftentimes in a spiritual sense, it means life. It means life. Where do you get your money from? How does it come into your bank account? Are people very kind to you that give you money? Money, if you get it, what I'm saying is life. Because we've been spending our times, our hours, each week to earn that money. And that time and those hours that we've spent, it is part of our life. So it is our life that is being used and I trust in a lawful way. We are working and it's a good thing that to work and to earn money. It's not a negative thing. But it is this picture of life. And so the Lord is saying, why are you spending your money, your life, on things that are of no value, ultimately speaking? And we see what is happening in this passage, in the context of it. If you were to study why this wonderful news comes and in what state the nation of Israel were in. You see, the affections, the desires and the love of the Israelites at that time, many of them were set on the things of this world. And Isaiah comes and he gives them some very, very harsh judgments because their heart was set on the things of this world. They were out to enrich themselves. He says in earlier chapters, in chapter 5, he says, you go and you get houses and you put them together. You get house after house and they are neighbors to each other. He says in verse 8 of chapter 5, he says, woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field. And and maybe you have seen that. Sometimes people buy this house and then they buy the next house next door to it and they knock it through. And that's what the picture is here. That's the intention of these Israelites. They were just trying to expand their empire, their influence as individuals. And what the apostle is, or what Isaiah is saying is that these people, they didn't care. They should have cared, but they didn't care for spiritual things. Materialism had sapped their vitality. But as we often learn very bitterly, that the things of this world can never satisfy the cravings of the human heart. We often say that money cannot buy happiness. Oh, it buys some kind of happiness, but it is temporary. It is not something that is deep and of great value. So here is the Lord speaking like this. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You know, there was a great king, King Solomon, who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes as a testimony, as a witness. And he wrote of this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, showing what he has learned in life, showing to us and his testimony that what is life like without the Lord? What is life like if you go on in the ways of the world and following your own heart's desires? What is that kind of a life? And he says, listen to me, don't do what I did. I have done all of that, and I have experienced all of that. Listen to me. He had many great things and many great experiences. He had power, he had wealth, he had knowledge, and yet he felt disappointments. Each road that he traveled turned out to be a cul-de-sac. It was a dead end. And it was all worldly allures, but it led to nowhere. Let's think about that very quickly. He tried knowledge. There's nothing wrong with knowledge. But knowledge without the Lord, with the ultimate goal of his glory and knowing him, it is all in vain. And he speaks about it in Ecclesiastes 1:13. I'll just quote for you. He says, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the heaven. So he wanted to know what's happening in this world. So you can include sciences and maths and chemistry and physics and all of these things. He wanted to know what's going on in this world. I want to know. I want to gain knowledge and so on. But do you know what he said about all of his learning and wisdom? He says in chapter 2 and verse 11, all was vanity and vexation of his spirit. There was no profit under the sun. He's saying, when I was going after these things, when I wanted knowledge, when I was educating myself, and it was all without God and without the Lord, without desiring to know him more in it all, it was all empty at the end. And I have seen very men and women who are great in their minds. They know so much. They would put many to shame with their knowledge of history and economics and knowledge of sciences and English language or languages and so on. But when you look at their lives, It is empty. And they would admit to that. All of this learning, knowledge, the Lord is saying, watch out for these things. Is this satisfying you? Is this satisfying your deepest longings? And Solomon goes on to say, it speaks about hard work. He worked hard. He gave his life to do things, and he labored, invested, and produced, he built, and yet his reflection as a king was this, in Ecclesiastes 2:18, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. So that was his, he tried hard work as well, and then he began to think, without the Lord, all of this was in vain. He also tried materialism, he tried pleasure as well. He's called the wisest man, and yet he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He had everything that he needed to gratify his flesh. He says this, I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I got me servants and maidservants. Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. And like Solomon, we discover that self-gratification will not satisfy this gnawing in our hearts. Isn't this how you are feeling? Isn't this true? And so many things, we have so many enjoyable things in life, but very soon it's gone, it's past. Birth is come. At the time, it is all very exciting. There are certain celebrations throughout the year. People engage in them. Plan for it months in advance. It's happening. It's coming. And then it goes. And then they talk about it for a couple of days. And then, what are they talking about it now? It's all gone. It's finished. It's vanished out of our minds. So often people have sought pleasure but found only their pain was lasting. And you read the lives of famous people. You read the lives of actors and see what painful lives they live. And yet in front of cameras, they have all smiles. And you see them and you think, oh, they've got it made. They have everything. They must be happy. Oh, my friends, we don't know what goes on in people's hearts. Solomon tried riches too, but he found them to be all of these things. The world was offering him things that were superficial. The Lord, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ once said, whosoever shall drink of this water shall thirst again. And so we go to this well of the world's water and we drink from it and we drink from it and we drink from it. And the Lord says, whoever drinks of that water will thirst again. But what do we need? It's the water that He offers. He gives. Everything else. We are traveling down this path, this life. Don't keep going down cul-de-sacs. In Churchtown, I don't want to say anything about people who live in Churchtown, but I've often got lost in Churchtown. I thought I know so-and-so's house lives down there, and I keep going down one cul-de-sac, it's a dead end, and I can't get out. I have to come out again. And you go to the next one, and then you do the same thing, and you go round the circle. And, my friends, it's a picture of life, isn't it, for so many that who just push God out of their lives. And the Lord is there. He says, ho, everyone, do you not listen? Do you not pay attention? These waters will fail you. But here is the water of life that I give. Are you thirsty? Come ye to the waters. The Lord offers substantial things. That's the blessings of salvation that are described here. There are waters that refreshes the soul. There's wine that cheers the heart. There's milk that nourishes the soul. It's bread that sustains us. And all of these things are simple things. And yet they are things from heaven. You know, the many things that we We, as Christians, we need our basic things. It's basic things that the Lord provides for us. It's through those things that we grow. The fellowship of God's people. Coming together like this. Praying. Reading the scriptures. Meditating upon it. Seeking God over it. Hearing it. All of these things. It's basic things. But God, somehow, it is a miracle. It is mysterious. I often think to myself, how is it that people who are facing many, many hours of all kinds of other things in their lives throughout the week, somehow they're sustained by 1, 2, 3 hours of, well, you don't get 3 hours of sermons per week, but 3 hours of coming together and worshiping God together. How can you be sustained by all these things? And then daily, a little reading of various passages and meditating on it. And praying to the Lord about these things. How can you be sustained by it? It is the work of God. That's how it is. We are sustained by it. It is the Lord. And so here is this good news that is given to us. What are your questions? What are the things that you are thinking? Important questions about your life. Do you think, well, my life is in darkness, and I cannot see my way. Well, trust Christ, if that is you. Or maybe the Lord has made you sense your need of Him, and you need pardon, you need forgiveness of your sins, and it's all this load of sin on you. What should you do? Trust Christ. That's what you should do. Are you crying out for truth? I need to know what is right. Where can I find the Lord? And I'm being allured by all these other things and errors. What should I do? Trust Christ in that situation. You're crying for guidance, and you're all confused about your life. Where am I going? I have no idea where I am going to end up. And I hope I will arrive in heaven. I hope these things are true. Well, trust Christ in that situation. You're crying for rest from the weariness of failure. What ought I to do? Trust Christ. For thou, O Christ, the hymn writer puts it, for thou, O Christ, art all I want, more than all in thee I find. We are made for God, my friends. God has placed these eternal desires, godly desires within the soul. Oftentimes, we because of our sinfulness, we spend it on other things. We misuse it, these desires. But the Lord is now here. We read about the bread, the thing that is not bread, but there is a thing that is bread. The Lord Jesus Christ, He says this, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is the message. This is what is being declared here. And this good news, it is something that is free. Yes, it satisfies the soul, but it is free and it is full. It says, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Do you know why God's salvation is free? It is partly this, because it's already been bought. It's already been paid for. That's why it is free. It doesn't mean that it didn't cost. It did cost. It's like children. They take so many things for granted. They go to the fridge and they see, oh, well, this is the, oh, I can have that. And then maybe sometimes parents would tease their children. They would say, well, that's mine. And that's mine. I bought it. And they don't see that it's money has been spent on it. They just take it and use it and are happy in it. And there is nothing in that sense wrong with that. We like to see our children enjoy these things. But it has been, they don't pay for it. But someone else has paid for it. And the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross. He cried out, I thirst. He thirsted in his soul. He thirsted in his body, so that we may not spiritually thirst. He would quench the thirst of men and women and boys and girls eternally. When he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished. All has been purchased." And it's brought to us free, without money, without price. There are many people who think of these things as being too simple. And the preachers are trying to bring people down. You see, in marketplace, you go, the person, the salespeople want to bring you up to their price. And you, well, I don't know what you do, but I would try to bring the price down. But you might just accept the price, I don't know. But they are trying to bring you up, but this is going to do this for you. And this has been farmed from this area of England or something like that. And so it's got value, and you have to buy it for this amount, and so on. And you're bartering over this. But the preacher is trying to bring us down. The preacher tries to get you down to God's price. For God's salvation is without money and without price. I've told you this, I'm sure, before, so many years ago, there was this Spanish war in Cuba. And the man who became later on President Roosevelt, he was a commander in the army, and he had soldiers under him. And some of the men at one point became ill. Some of them died. And they needed food, which they didn't have, and they needed medicine. But he knew at another place there was a nurse who had received all these food and the medicine and so on. And so he thought, I'll go and I'll get this food and medicine for my men. And so he sent a message, and he said, we need this. And how much is it? And she said, no, I'm not going to sell it to you. And he was quite upset about that. And he thought, I'll go and see her myself. And he says, how can I get this? You're not going to sell it to me. What price will you give? I will pay from my own pocket. My men are dying. And she said, just ask for them. That's what she said. Just ask for them. It is free. It is free for anyone who is in need. And then Roosevelt, he smiled and he said, is that the way it is? Well, I'll ask for it then. May I have this food? May I have this medicine? And she gave it all for free. And that's a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when this invitation is coming, don't repeat Roosevelt's mistake of trying to get something by paying for it yourself. And when we talk about these things, it means that we have to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves to receive it, but also this message gives us hope. For those who are despairing, for those who feel that they have nothing to give, nothing to offer, it gives hope. The hymn writer puts it, let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dreamed. All the fitness Christ requireth is to feel your need of him. And this, this news that comes to you is for those who feel their need, sense their need of the Lord. This salvation, you see, this invitation that is given is for everyone. Oh, everyone, it says. Oh, everyone. It's not just for the Jews. It's not only for the Gentiles. It is for anybody. For all sorts of people in this world. And you can imagine, can't you? When, by God's grace, Christians arrive in heaven, you will see all kinds of people. Maybe we had difficulties associating with them in this world. You'll see poor people who had nothing, You would see people who had been living in all kinds of sins. You would see people who were drunkards. But all of those people who had all of those backgrounds, God had saved and God had transformed. You see, the cheap gospel of today is that you come to Jesus Christ and carry on. This is what people want, this gospel that allows them to live in sin. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is something that is life-transforming. It actually changes you. It satisfies you. And that is what the Lord is saying. You will see a religious man like the Apostle Paul, who referred to himself as the chief of sinners, sitting at heaven, at that table. But it is for everyone who sense their need, I should say. He that thirsteth. Whoever is thirsting. Maybe now you're thirsting. Maybe now you're hungry. You have this need that must be satisfied. And you sense this emptiness. And whatever the world is offering, it's not filling and satisfying you. And you're reaching out, even blindly, to something better. Oh, my friends, do you desire God's salvation? Have you this intense yearning to get right with God through the Savior? If any man thirst, the Lord Jesus Christ said, let him come unto me and drink. And it is for everyone who senses their need and come. It's not enough to sense your need. You ought to come. That is the thing. Come ye to the waters. Come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk. So don't just stop and think, because I sense my need, then that is enough. No, you must go. You must come. And that is so important. It is something that we shouldn't think, well, I need to be polite about it, or anything like that. You must go and seek the Lord and ask. It's a matter of life and death. I read about a man, and with this I finish, who had a limited amount of money. He needed to travel by a great ship. And so he spent most of his money that he had on the ticket for this ship. And when he went on board, he thought, well, I need to be wise about this. I need to have some food. So he had some money left, and he spent the rest of his money on bread and cheese. But three times a day, he could smell all this food. And it was making him feel, I wish I had that food. After about 3-4 days, the bread became stale. The cheese became moldy. And he was hungry. And he needed. He thought, what shall I do about this? And on one of those occasions, and it was at the end of his journey by that time, one of the waiters was going out and had a great dish of turkey or something, and the smell was wonderful, and so on. And the man said, how much would that be? How much is it? And the waiter said, it's already part of your ticket. You already have paid for it, but you haven't come. You should have known about this. And the man spent most of the journey without realizing he should have gone. He felt his need, but he had not gone. And this is the matter, my friends, that a person can feel their need and feel miserable about it. But the Lord says, come by. And the Lord then provides. And at the end it says, hearken diligently unto me. Listen, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And when the Old Testament, the word fatness is used, means blessings. Well, may God then work in every one of us and see the blessing that there is in this great invitation of salvation through Christ our Savior. Amen.